Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
Welcome, everybody, to Nightlight. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's really an exciting day for me because I have an amazing author with me. But before that, I want to thank Ken Quiet Hawk for his amazing intro and refer you to Google him because he and his wife are native storytellers and they preserve their history and their cosmology in story form that has passed generation to generation. And actually, it is an amazing way of preserving history and belief and spirit. And so if you've never experienced these kinds of stories, please check it out. Google Ken Quiet Hawk or Native Storytellers. You'll find him in either place because he is profoundly there. That said, we're talking today with Suzanne Ross, who's written an amazing book called Rise Up, Awakening Through Revelation. And as the book says, get ready for the adventure of a lifetime. It will take you on an extraordinary 10-day adventure. You'll virtually witness the creation and experience yourself immersed in the illusion as a hologram of your eternal soul. Your spirit will ascend from the density of this 3D reality through the daily revelations, powerful initiations, and energetic activations. Your mind will soar. Your heart will expand to the whole new heights of ascended consciousness. You'll develop the advanced ability to see interdimensionally while experiencing the realms of multidimensionality. You'll have a profound sense of oneness as you realize all beings and things are of and from the same divine source. You'll rejoice in the inner knowing that your soul is eternal and you are both human and divine. Through this discovery of the fundamental patterns of creation that are subject to the power of your mind, you will develop creator consciousness. And when you realize you are a creator, you will develop the ability to influence matter with sound resonance, visualization, and pure intentions. And you can find Suzanne at SuzanneRossWellness.com. Her book is on Amazon, and it is more than a book. It is a workbook so that it takes you through series of exercises. It helps you to expand yourself. There are places in the book for you to write down your input and what's going on within you. It is an amazing book, and I highly, highly recommend it. And that said, I welcome Suzanne to the show. Hi, Suzanne. How are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and thanks so much for that beautiful praise about my book. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, it was, you know, I I work with a lot of people myself, and very often I say to them, you need to go within. You need to go within. The answers are within. And I usually get blank stares or, and how does one do that? And your book does it. Not only do you take people through a 10-day exercise of awakening and revelation, but you have meditations that they can go to that are on your website that they can click into. There are exercises that they can go through. You take them through how to go within, and that's what makes your book so very, very unique and unusual.
Thank you for that. Yes, as I reveal different possibilities about how creation came into being, about the cosmologies of ancient cultures, about the magic and mystery of manifestation, I want to give people an opportunity to engage in their own experience and see what resonates for them as truth. I never say, you know, this is the truth of the way it is, and this is how you can manifest, or this is the truth about the cosmology. I want to give people an opportunity to go into meditation and feel into what truths resonate for them so that they can discover their own origins, that they can resonate with their own self-discovery journey.
Well, and, you know, everybody's journey is different, and that's the one thing I think so many people don't really understand, that my journey isn't your journey, and it isn't, you know, my sister's journey. It's every journey has has been created uniquely for the spirit that is carried within. And so, you know, if I stub my toe and you stub your toe, there are two different reasons for why we stubbed our toes.
Exactly. We're definitely here on our own unique journey through time and space. However, there are fundamental truths about the true nature of reality and fundamental truths about the merging of science and spirituality. And that's what I've discovered on the journey through writing the book and my own spiritual path, is that when you look at the story of creation in the Bible, for instance, Genesis, and then you start to study the seven petals on the flower of life with sacred geometry, and then in religion you start to learn about the seventh heaven, and you start to see 7 days of creation, seven petals on the flower of life, seventh heaven, and you start to realize, hey, a lot of these things that are being said from different genres, if you will, are all pointing to the same sacred number seven. And then you go and look at science and quantum physics, and you see that with every seven iterations, you come up with the same infinity symbol at eight. And so you start to realize that there are underlying fundamental truths that are so relevant to ourselves and our own spiritual journeys. And, of course, we have seven chakras. And so you start to realize the microcosm within the macrocosm and the parallels.
Absolutely. And I think what is very impressive is that throughout the entire book you share your own personal experience, so that it's kind of like, you know, this is how it happened in my life, and this is how it led me in this direction. And you let people know that you know, you're human too. And I think that is a wonderful quality to bring into the book, because, you know, most people have a lot of stuff going on in their life, and they think, you know, well, you know, look at her, and she's written a book, and she's making lots of money or whatever. And the reality is your book shows how you have struggled through your life, and how difficult times have led you to unique experiences that open doors for you, so that sometimes the difficulties that come into our lives are really gifts that give us a challenge to open ourselves to a new source of creation and a new understanding of the reality wherein we dwell.
So beautifully expressed, and that is true. I say that the dark night is a great gift, because when you emerge victorious on the other side, oftentimes the light is more brilliant than it ever was before. There's something about awakening from suffering, and it's a chapter in my first book, Wake Up, Awakening from Suffering, because so many people come to a point where they throw their arms up to the sky and surrender, and when they do, the light is shown to them, the light on the other side of the dark tunnel, and they get connected with a higher power, a higher source, a higher being, their own higher self, or, you know, feel a connection with the, you know, God or whatever people want to, you know, call it. But they realize there's something much greater than themselves, and they're connected to it. And once they start to expand in that experience, they crawl out of the dark night and step onto a whole new path. Oftentimes an illuminated path, spiritual, religious, but something that truly inspires them to become that greater part of themselves.
Oh, and it's all there in all of us, too. I think that's what, you know, so many people think, well, no, I'm not that great, or I don't have that ability. Everybody has it inside of themselves. It's a matter of doing the work to getting there. Now, your book is suggestive of a 10-day workshop. Does it have to be 10 days? I mean, can it be stretched out over even 10 weeks or whatever?
Absolutely. My first book, Wake Up, is a 10-day life lessons workshop, and that is done in more of the fashion of, you know, if someone can take 10 days off and just dive in and do it, or at least do one full day at a time, because there's workshop modules, that's ideal. But for Rise Up, which is a 10-day adventure, that can be done at people's leisure, because it's much more deeply metaphysical. We're exploring advanced concepts metaphysically, scientifically, spiritually. And so it's important to understand and grasp these concepts as you move through the adventure. So if it requires reading and rereading pages, I've also provided over 100 full-color illustrations and lots of graphics for symbols and equations and atoms and sacred geometry, and I inspire people to draw those, because for myself, that was really powerful, and to take time with the quantum physics to figure out, you know, some of these principles, and then take a break and go walk out in nature and see how these principles actually apply to nature and the creation, like the Fibonacci spiral or the golden mean spiral and the Fibonacci sequence. And so when you go out in nature and you actually see these concepts and principles appear right before your eyes, then you're right on track with your ascension journey.
Well, and it's actually 10 days gets you to a certain point, but do we ever actually ascend to a place? I mean, I guess what I'm looking for is, you can ascend at one point in time in your life, but then given experience and life itself, you can go back and you can redo the whole thing and ascend to a new level. So you never actually get to the platform at the top where there's a gold medal, because, well, then there's no point to being here.
Totally, yes. I've written the series of books to progress people, you know, on an ascension journey, literally. The first book is about liberating your mind from limiting beliefs and balancing karma that may have been created in this in past lives, and also understanding practical spiritualities, practical ways to bring more spirituality into your everyday life, and also balancing ego and spirit. And so it's really more of a personal development book where you are dealing with, in a sense, the life that you're living now, where you've been, where you're going, and understanding that on a deeper level, maybe finding some resolution around it, letting go of negative attachments and embracing the most positive memories and lessons as golden nuggets. But then when you get to rise up as it's more deeply metaphysical, then you are progressing on your spiritual journey even further, you know, becoming more advanced as you expand your consciousness. And then ultimately my third book, which will be coming out next year, is Lighten Up, Activating Your Golden Light Body, right? And so now you're, you know, actually doing some very powerful practices that literally involve a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual transformation of your being as an ascended being.
I can see doing this book once a year, taking 10 days once a year and going through the book and doing it again and again. You've left room for people to actually write in it, but again, that's something that you know, you can always add more paper to, because as you ascend, new karmic information comes out. So that it would seem to me that after a year's time of getting to going through the book and getting to a certain point place in yourself, in your life, and beginning to put into practice all of the things that you have gathered, after a year's time, I could see going back and saying, okay, what more is there? And there's always something more. So this book could be repeated year after year after year for decades and always have new material that will come out of you from the experience, I would think.
Thank you so much for bringing that up and for recognizing its long-term value. Yes, the material is you know, dense, right? And I have found that especially going to the sacred sites around the world, we go to the ancient Mayan temples, the ancient Egyptian pyramids. We even visit the Dogon tribe in Africa, who have a very clear understanding of advanced physics and
Absolutely.
How creation came into being, right? And they say they were taught that by their star ancestors from the star Sirius B. But as we look at these ancient cultures and we realize some familiarity with what they thought, believed, practiced, that we may have had a past life there in the Egyptian pyramids or in the Mayan temples, right? And so as those past life memories are triggered, it enhances the journey significantly.
Oh, absolutely. And it does, I mean, among other things, it gives you a greater appreciation of history and what it has or has not shared with us. And it, to me, the experience of cleaning up the flotsam and jetsam of a lifetime to your awareness, you know, to that which you are aware of at this point in time, means that if you clarify that, you can go further. But given a year's time of letting it all sink in, you're ready to, you know, go through it again. I mean, we go through car washes on a regular basis because our car picks up stuff that needs to be rinsed off. And so our spirit is probably the same way, that it could use a cleansing. And in many ways, this book is like smudging your spirit. And every time you smudge, it takes away another layer of drudge, of cloudiness, of shadows, and gives you a brighter perspective of the reality that you are in.
Oh, that's a great analogy, Barbara.
I so relate to that. I have a couple of books that I'm really fascinated by. They're very dense. They're written in a very advanced, sophisticated language. They're channeled books. And I will go back and read them over and over and over again. And like you're saying, discover something new every time and grasp a deeper understanding of, you know, what they're saying and apply it to my life in a new and different way. And I just had a funny thought. I just keep reading this one book over and again because it is incredibly advanced, but it resonates as the truth for me on many levels and has a really positive impact on my life and my connection with creation. And my sister came to visit, and she said, "Are you still reading that same book?" This is like 5 years later, and it's still sitting out on the counter, right? I said, well, I've read a lot of other books in between as well, but, you know, this book is like kind of a Bible for me. It's like a universal Bible.
Well, it's. I think that's something that's you make an amazingly great point here in that the more aware we are, the more we see and hear. You know, the more you listen, the more you hear. And so when it comes to spirituality especially, you know, most people put spirituality in a category, but the reality is it's your entire life. And the more observant you are, the greater the wisdom you gather. Even like movies. I think I've seen the movie Avatar maybe 8 or 10 times.
Yes, that's a good
and
one.
Every time I see something new that has been either subtly or unintentionally, but it's there. And I think one of the first things I saw was his use of color and how it triggered chakras into awareness. And, you know, the subtleties of reincarnation and spirit transfer and all of that stuff, it's right there. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. You can enjoy the movie. But if you go back and you look for the subtleties that are there that he probably didn't intend to do as many as are there, but it triggers an awareness in the spirit that opens you up to a greater understanding of your own life and how it is impacted. And I think one of the biggest things that I work on constantly is there's always, always, always a message that comes to you in everyday mundane life. And if you're aware that you're getting messages and write them down, it enhances your experience of your lifetime tremendously.
Yes, and very good point. And speaking of the movie Avatar,
yes.
Boy, that is so significant. As to the concepts I am presenting in Rise Up, this idea that there is an eternal soul of who you are and always will be standing at the center of your creation as the only real you, and this eternal soul aspect is whole, perfect, and complete as your divine blueprint, and this eternal soul stands at the center of creation in this one perfect universe where everything is whole, perfect, and complete, and it mentally projects holographic fractals of its personalities into multiple time and space dimensions, and this idea that time and space itself is a mental construct that has been projected as a hologram, if you will, for the purpose of another way for the eternal souls to know thyself. This idea that the eternal soul exists, and in that way it knows thyself by existing and being But these eternal children had a desire to know thyself in a different way through doing and experiencing. And so through this process of projection and reflection, we're able to mentally project their avatars into these different time and space dimensions, this time-space reality that they've created. And as such, they're on the other side programming their avatar and witnessing and observing its experience, and as such, getting the benefit of that experience. You see how similar that concept is to this idea of the gentleman in the movie who is laying there, right, and sort of witnessing but also participating consciously in his avatar.
Yeah, no, you speak too of 12 dimensions and 12 archetypal aspects of the one great self. You want to go into that a little bit? See if we can.
Sure. Yes, okay. And so that concept comes from the idea in Buddhism, for instance, where there is an infinite sea of pure consciousness, beginningless and endless, and that this is the infinite source. You could even say the one great self. And then this idea that the one great self awoke in this infinite sea, reflected upon himself, and created a mirror image. And in this moment of self-recognition, the light of the infinite spirit came into being, and you had now the divine trinity. And it rests, this divine trinity resting in infinity in a state of perfect bliss, had also a self-realization that they wanted to create. And they couldn't create in infinity. They needed to create a reality that had a beginning so they could start creating and reflect it upon themselves, creating an inverted triangle, if you will. If you imagine the divine trinity as an upright triangle of beings, the divine trinity as 3 in 1 and 1 in 3, and as they reflect upon themselves, create an inverted triangle, and now they're the creative trinity. But the point of that triangle, piercing a hole through infinity, if you will, and creating a whole new creation, eternity, that has a beginning and no ending. And there, the creative trinity began to create beings and things. The one great self expressing 12 personalities as the original 12 archetypes. And really, this is where the zodiac wheel comes from. And we're familiar with the 12 archetypes as it relates to the 12 signs. But what it really is it's the Trinity, 3, creating in each of the 4 elements, in each of the 4 directions. And so that's how the zodiac wheel is laid out. You have 3 air signs, 3 fire signs, 3 earth signs, 3 water signs. And of course, as this eternal creation, this perfect central universe, if you will, was created, it was created using these 4 elements and the divine trinity expressing in each of the 4 elements and each of the 4 directions. And that's how you get the 12 archetypes. It literally is the 12 personalities of the one great self. And then, of course, when the eternal children were created as a reflection of the one great self or an aspect of the one great self, they too had 12 personalities, 12 archetypes of their one self. And so as they began to project this time-space illusion, right, as a hologram, they projected 12 aspects of their personalities into each of 12 dimensions. Now, this is based on theosophy, which I attune to. It resonates with me very profoundly. Theosophy founded by Madame Blavatsky, who wrote Isis Unveiled, which was Einstein's favorite book, also The Secret Doctrines. But then it was simplified somewhat by Alice Bailey and later Dr. Joshua David Stone. But the idea is that we have 144 soul extension, 12 aspects of ourself in each of 12 dimensions, right? 12 times 12 is 144. And 144 soul extensions they call our monad. And so we can imagine here in the third dimension, for instance, that we have 12 soul extensions. So if I'm a Virgo here in this lifetime, I have 11 other soul extensions, and one is a Sagittarius, and one is a Leo, and one is a Capricorn, and so on. And so that model resonates with me. There's a lot of truth and a lot of symbolism that reflect the fundamental truths or patterns of creation.
Well, you talk about dimensions and timelines. So are you inferring that each timeline is different and that your avatar or your soul extension is experiencing a different timeline, a different experience than you are in this timeline?
Definitely, yes. And so those 3D soul aspects, if you will, here I am in 2021 and I have 11 other soul extensions dispersed throughout different timelines. In truth, there's one eternal now moment, right, that our eternal soul exists in, but as such can view all of these different lifetimes unfolding simultaneously in the eternal now moment, right? And I feel that's why I myself, as a psychic who does what I call timeline regressions, I don't like to call them past life regressions, because sometimes we view future lives. You know, what uh-huh. we're doing is I'm tuning into the eyes of the eternal soul, taking my client with me and putting them in a hypnotic trance state where they see through the eyes of their own eternal soul and they witness these movies unfolding, these other lifetimes, because they're happening now, you see, in the eternal now. That's why we can view them when we are able to tune into our eternal soul.
If that's the case, then is there or has it ever happened that one has, you know, slipped from one dimension to another dimension to claim that as their ultimate reality?
Yes, and so then dimensions would be another story, right? That's then a multidimensional aspect of your being in another whole dimension, right? So beyond the 3D timelines, now you're quantum jumping, if you will, into the uh-huh. next dimension where you have another 12 soul aspects experiencing that dimension. And so that is another service that I offer. It's a multidimensional soul reunion. And I like to start with the 3D timelines because I feel that if we can gather the fragmented soul aspects from the 3D timelines and balance the karma that has been created in 3D, we sort of come to a place of wholeness here where then we're ready to ascend into the next dimension. And then I will guide a soul merge with a higher dimensional aspect of who you're being, let's say, in 5D. And as such, you become more advanced. What I realized is that when you merge with your higher dimensional aspects who are more advanced as a higher dimensional being, that innate gifts and abilities awaken within you that are more advanced. I was also shown that you ignite dormant DNA and bring more of your brain online, which makes perfect sense to me. I always wondered why we only use 10% of our brain, and physicists say 4% of our DNA and the rest is junk, and we know that's not true. So why is that, that, you know, so much of our DNA is dormant and so much of our brain is not online? And what I came to understand is that here in the third dimension, we're only expressing a fraction of who we are in wholeness, right? So if we're expressing only 10% of who we are in wholeness, that explains why only 10% of our brain is online, right? But as we go into those higher dimensional aspects, then we increase our access. Now we are... We bring 20% of our brain online. Now we have ignited more of our dormant DNA, and in doing so, we become more and more advanced as we evolve through these higher and higher dimensional planes.
Then the it is the ultimate goal to first merge the 12 archetypes and then merge the 12 dimensions eventually.
Yes. Yes, so beautifully said. And it was so fascinating because after a missing time experience where myself and two of my friends lost 4 hours of time after seeing a flash of brilliant light on the horizon off my upper deck here at my home. After that, I started grabbing poster board and markers, and I was drawing these big circles with 12 circles all around it, like a zodiac wheel, but I knew these were dimensions, and that one was source deity, and two was the dimension through which creation comes into being, through the elements and sacred geometry, the Platonic solids. And then the third dimension was the first incarnational foundation. And here you can incarnate as a physical being infused with your soul aspects. And here you have 10% of your brain online. And then as I moved around into these other dimensions, 4D, you bring 20% of your brain online, 5D, 30%. And when you get to 12D, 100% of your brain is online. All of your DNA is ignited. Here you are in your perfect divine blueprint. And that is the realm of eternity that I have been referring to, where everything is whole, perfect, and complete in the 12th dimension.
Well, would that then say that, for instance... Oops, I dropped you. I have cats helping me, so I have to apologize. Would that then refer to ascended masters like Jesus, like Krishna, like... Would you say that those spirits had been through that entire ascension process?
You know, it's hard to say, isn't it, what level, what dimensional level that they reached. However, certainly they did reach a higher dimensional level of awareness with the ability to teleport, for instance. It is said that some of these masters, like Babaji, could leave his body and be somewhere else and materialize there, and people would be interacting with him in this other place and space and time, but his body would be in another place entirely, and his students would be tending to his body, which he had vacated, which didn't die, but was in a state of stasis, if you will, suspended somehow. And so this ability to teleport, you know, I'm sure he had gifts of telepathic communication, are all advanced gifts that would a higher dimensional, more advanced being would have.
Mm-hmm. So you talk a lot about frequency on the individual level. How do people determine what where they are frequency speaking, and then how to increase that frequency?
That's a great question. Frequency has everything to do with all of it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And here
Absolutely.
We are in the third dimension. This whole virtual reality is frequency. It is form vibrating at different frequencies to give it its color and density. And that's how this whole pixelated movie rolls out. And in each of these different dimensions, there is a specific spectrum of perception within which we can perceive this limited reality. We cannot uh-huh. see beyond it unless we start to become more advanced as spiritual practitioners, making an intentional effort to see beyond the veil of 3D. But there is a veil for a reason, so that souls can come in and have this 3D experience of duality, which is really the marker of this third dimension. And there's specific lessons that can only be learned in this third dimension. And so this veil of forgetting as we come in, so, you know, we may remember as young children who we really are, and even some past lives of where we have just come from. But that fades out, and we really tune into who we are in the third dimension. And when I say tune in, we're tuned in to this particular bandwidth, this particular spectrum, and within that spectrum there is certain frequencies. We have literally the rainbow rays, right, of which our creation is illuminated by the basic colors. Red is the lowest vibration, the longest, slowest waves, and purple is the highest, the fastest, shortest waves, right? But it's the 3D spectrum within which we experience this reality, or perceive this reality, I should say. And so each of them is a frequency. And so we're vibrating within this third dimensional reality at a certain frequency. Now, frequency also comes into effect as different frequencies of emotions. And so, you know, anger, hatred, resentment, blame, shame, guilt, you know, those are all very low frequencies and puts us in our lower chakras, right? So we're back to the color spectrum there.
Okay.
And then the higher vibrational frequencies, emotionally, mentally, even physically, are, of course, love and compassion and kindness and patience, the higher virtues in the higher chakras, right? And so even in the heart chakra, which sort of is in between the lower chakras and the upper chakras, right? We go and we move into the heart chakra. We experience pure unconditional love and forgiveness. And then we move into the throat for clear communication, speaking our truth, the truth of who we are authentically, and moving into then the sixth chakra, right? Psychic awareness, intuitive abilities, and then into the crown, connection with the divine. And so those are all higher frequency. And then, you know, we can raise our frequency even beyond that, and then we start talking about moving into our soul star or our Merkaba light vehicle as the eighth chakra, seeding our consciousness within that soul star. We start to transcend the 3D chakras, even the 3D matrix,
as we blow the lid off the cube of the 3D matrix that we've been, in a sense, entrapped in. And
yeah.
then we start ascending our consciousness, transitioning through the 4D astral plane and making a choice to serve the light selflessly or to continue to dwell in the shadows. If we decide that we are going to commit ourselves to serving the light selflessly, we will be given a series of examinations, a series of tests to see if we really are committed to serving the light selflessly and let go of some of the sensory attachments. And then if we do and we pass our tests and we have raised our love light frequency enough, our love light quotient, the gates of ascension open for us and we can ascend into the fifth dimension, the next higher dimensional series of experiences.
I keep coming back to your 12 timelines and the soul fragmenting into the 12 different aspects of the zodiac for timeline experiences. If you die in one timeline, do you die in the same at the same time in all timelines, or is that something that is kind of random?
I mean, we don't think anything is random, right? Everything has a divine meaning and purpose, and everything in divine timing and divine order. And I think for each one of our incarnations, that on the other side before incarnating, that our soul has a contract, if you will, right? Certain lessons that it has yet to master, and so it comes here with a plan, a life plan, and I believe the soul even goes so far as to choose the parents that they want to come in through, and that the parents, you know, also have to agree to that, and there's a contract there. And the soul's life plan has sort of been laid out prior to incarnating. I also believe that when we die, that is something that the soul agrees to, and it may be something to do with karmic balancing, but that it is part of our life plan to do so at the time that we do. You see?
Yeah, I know that I really understand that there are things that need to be completed, and once they're completed, we move on. It's not so much that we die to a reality, it's that, you know, it's kind of like I'm done with the 12th grade, I'm going to the next level. So it's the perception is always of the timeline you're on now. That's really all you have total control over, so to speak. So that my question really is, all right, so I'm in a Piscean timeline here now, but I have, you know, an Aries timeline and a Sagittarius timeline and a Gemini and, you know, all, and a Taurus and all the rest. So what happens to those other timelines when I cease to exist on this timeline? Do they continue, or does the awareness that I had in this timeline transfer to those timelines to take that information and share with them? How does that work?
And so what we're doing with this is we're bringing time into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in truth, if there's one eternal now, right, that those lifetimes are simultaneously unfolding, that they never really go anywhere, that
if you step out of the third dimensional timeline, for instance, say your soul ascends, even in its physical body, you know, here and now, like some of us believe, we can ascend our consciousness. Our consciousness moves out of that slot, if you will, and moves into a slot in 5D. So let's say there's 12 circles in 3D, and these would be lifetimes that our soul would be incarnating into, and then there's 12, you know, circles in 5D that, say, as a 3D, you know, aspect of yourself ascends into one of the 5D aspects, that a new soul aspect of yourself comes in to take that spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, it's kind of, I know a lot of people are thinking, all right, so I'm fragmented, but you're not really, because your oversoul has certainly the ability to conceptualize what's going on in all aspects and draw information from all pieces of you. I think it's important to have people understand that no matter where you are in the evolutionary spectrum, it's not necessarily an up or down or higher or lower. It's more of a all at the same time space, so that it's not higher. I think so many people get caught in the fact that I want to have, you know, a higher number, I want to be a higher level, I want to, you know. The important thing is that you experience where you are now, so you move forward into another level. Not, you're not graduating from school. You're ascending in consciousness, and there's a difference between the two.
There is. And isn't it wonderful that we have this impulse to evolve? And for those who are waking up or who are on this ascension journey, that we are now intentionally creating meaningful experiences that incorporate our life lessons so that we can consciously evolve toward more enlightened ones. And this process of intentionally creating and consciously evolving allows us to progress on our spiritual journey into a place of higher consciousness, where we experience more inner peace, more bliss, a mastery of our body, mind, and spirit, so that we become a higher version of our best self, right? And so this is really the ascension path. Now, interestingly enough, some people are not ready to wake up. They maybe are a new soul who just got to 3D not long ago, and they want to continue to learn the lessons through duality, right? Through experiencing fear and chaos and, you know, all of the qualities of duality, love and hate, you know, sickness and health, good and evil, right? But there's many of us who have been here in the 3D reality long enough to the point where we're done learning through suffering and separation, and we're ready to move into a higher dimensional plane where there is unity and peace and harmony, where love and light prevail.
But I think it's important to understand, for people to understand that, you know, as you go into these different states of mind, you don't have to die. that it reflects in how you live your life and how you address other people and how you touch on your reality. It doesn't have to be, you know, I've heard people say, well, I have to get rid of my spouse because they aren't of the same level as I am consciously, and therefore we can't exist together. That's ridiculous. Part of learning to exist is to, you know, embrace everything and everyone. So not that you put on a white sheet, go to the mountaintop, and wait for the mothership, but it's been done, but it never came. But it's sort of a way of life for you when you get to these higher levels of ascension and love and compassion and understanding. It's a matter of, you know, unconditional love, and therefore there are no conditions upon the love that you give to people. It is free. You don't expect back. You just love. And so it does change the way that you function within reality. You're not going to suddenly start walking on water, though if it's frozen, you can do that.
Yes.
So it takes place within this reality, and the change and the movement that you're talking about all has to do with internal ascension, because you still have your physical reality to deal with. But it changes your physical reality tremendously as to how you approach everything. So you can't change, you know, I think you read someplace, you can't change others, but you can change yourself. And in doing that, the perception of your reality changes, and therefore there is a change that happens, whether or not, you know, everyone else has moved to compensate for you, or you've moved to compensate for them. So that what you've got going on is a practice of life more than an intellectual understanding of others. It is an emotional understanding of the spirit that you carry inside you.
That is so true and really beautifully expressed, Barbara. Yes, as I raise my love light frequency, I attract others who are also vibrating at that higher frequency, like yourself, Barbara. And so here we are, and the audience who is tuned in is also vibrating at a higher frequency, and we all have a desire to continue to raise our frequency. And so your experience of reality starts to reflect that, and you experience less and less and less of the chaos and the confusion and the hatred and the resentment. You start to experience less and less of the lower vibrational energies. Even the experience of your everyday life has far less confrontation. And I have this very interesting idea about how we are literally shifting into higher 5D consciousness right here and now. And as we do, we literally experience less and less and less of the lower density 3D reality. I'm guessing that you don't watch the news, Barbara, or align
no.
with what they're saying, right? And neither do I.
No.
I don't even know anybody in my spiritual circle who watches the news anymore. And many of us are aware that there's an agenda behind it, and that much of it is not based on truth either as such. And so we just tuned out of that. And when we tune out of it, you know, then we are sort of tuning out of 3D, and some things that are taking place in 3D reality we're not even aware of anymore. And those people in 3D who are heavily immersed in that aren't aware of what we're experiencing at all either. And so, you see, I think this is really how the ascension takes place, that ultimately we're not even aware of 3D anymore, and we're just totally aware of a 5D reality.
Well, there is so much going on today. There's so much fear out there today that it's hard to not see it and experience it. And yet, you get to the point where you kind of go to where you know the truth is, and the truth is inside of you. The truth is the fact that, you know, humanity is going through a process here that is very uncomfortable. I've looked upon the pandemic as a time out that God gave us to figure out what we want to do with our lives. And, you know, that may or may not be true, but it's provided everybody with a period of time to really reflect upon who they are, where they are, and what they want to do with their lives. And, you know, there is fear that, you know, that you could die. You could catch this pandemic. You could catch this flu. And many have passed away. I'm not diminishing the fact that it's very real. There is a virus out there. But it also feels as though the whole planet has been put into a time of reflection that is so important. And not everybody is going to reflect, but a lot of people have. And I think it has been a spiritual awakening for a vast number of people that might never have gotten into this genre before.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And I think that COVID has been a catalyst for awakening for many. And on the other hand, it's also driven others further, deeper into the 3D matrix. So some people are going deeper into the entrapment and enslavement, and others are breaking out of the 3D matrix and expanding their consciousness into a higher way of living and being. And there's no judgment about that whatsoever. It's just what I was saying before, that there's very valuable lessons to be learned in the 3D consciousness. And so they are wanting subconsciously to stay there and to continue to experience that which 3D has to offer. And others are questioning authority and not wanting to be entrapped or enslaved any longer, right? And they want to break free of all that and explore an alternate way of living and being, a higher way of living and being, where there is freedom and prosperity and the pursuit of happiness with independence and sovereignty.
And you know, so, in a way,
people are choosing.
In a way, I have heard people, and I'm not sure, I'm going to say something, but I'm going to also preface it with, I'm not sure whether I believe it or not, but it has been an interesting point to ponder, to put out there, that COVID in many ways is a form of the rapture, that spirits are being taken up, vast numbers of them, and the population is being culled. So that in a way, you know, while rapture has been proclaimed in the Bible about, you know, those who are born again and stuff like that are taken up, in another way, this pandemic is taking up vast numbers of spirits all at the same time, very much like 9/11 did. 3,000 people got taken up immediately. And there were very, very few bodies found, by the way. So, you know, it was a rapture-type event, but done in a way that was not as the Bible described it, but at the same time, those numbers of spirits were grabbed up at the same time. So I'm wondering if there's something going on here that even has a biblical reference to it that we haven't noticed before.
Yes, that is a very interesting concept, and I think that there are biblical references that are applicable to this time without a doubt. And again, it goes back to what we were saying about souls passing over at this time as being in divine timing and divine order, right? And so some souls are choosing to pass over at this time because maybe they do not want to be part of the future 3D timeline of devolution and descension that will naturally happen as we move around the arc at these end times. And other souls may be ascending and into their next dimensional reality. Other souls may be passing on and moving into another third dimensional world. And so from that perspective, the souls are passing, and where they go from there is based on their light quotient or readiness to, you know, either continue, maybe spend a little time in the spiritual realm, just for a configuration, a reconfiguration of consciousness, or spend time with their, you know, spiritual family on the other side before coming back to incarnate anywhere, right? So that's very interesting. But speaking of the Bible, I do believe that there are very significant alignments with the Book of Revelation. And I did a whole radio series of this on my show Transcend the Matrix on Truth Frequency Radio, where I read the Book of Revelations and paused along the way to compare it to exactly what's unfolding right here and now, from pestilence being the pandemic and then soaring food prices where you couldn't purchase a loaf of bread for a denarius, which is a day's wage, and then civil unrest. And we certainly know there's been civil unrest with Black Lives Matter and such, the rioting and what have you. And then furthermore, the Book of Revelations literally says the ascension of the new earth and the descension of the old earth. And so I do believe that there comes a time at an end age where there is a split, an ascension and descension. And in my book, Rise Up, I present the ages of the yugas and show how our solar system is on this ascending arc of 12,500 years to a golden age of enlightenment. And then the solar system turns on this elliptical wheel and heads back on a descending devolution arc back to the dark ages. And we know this to be true historically, because here we were as temple-building advanced civilizations in a golden age of enlightenment, and then we proceed on this descension devolution arc back to the dark ages, and you have Attila the Hun lopping off heads and burning libraries. We can hardly build a shack with an outhouse. And so we know that this is a track that our solar system travels on the ascending arc. We're coming closer and closer in alignment to Brahma, which moves through the center of the Milky Way galaxy. According to Hinduism, Brahma, divine consciousness, flows through the center of the Milky Way galaxy, has access to the great central sun. Right? And this is divine consciousness. And as we move into alignment with that, we are showered with, we can look at it atmospherically, we are now being bombarded with these solar flares containing supercharged encoded photons of light, right, that are naturally raising our love light frequency, our Schumann resonance, if we can open to receive it. For other people, it's short-circuiting their nervous system. Other people are choosing to pass on. The resonance, the vibration is too high. It's throwing other people deeper into the darkness, right? But this is what happens in a golden age of enlightenment. As we move closer to the great central sun, and some people become more advanced and evolved and ascend, and then others make a literal choice, maybe subconsciously, but they, you know, make a free will choice to continue on the devolution descension arc back into the dark ages. And this is what happens, the ascension of the new earth and the descension of the old earth. And I believe that's what's happening now.
Well, it certainly, it does appear to be so. You've mentioned also a couple of really super good books, certainly Madame Blavatsky, who is a joy to read. Her writing is really quite profound. The other book that you mentioned in your book, which has always been a book that has fascinated me tremendously, and that's the Euryanthea book.
Yes, right.
If you want to get lost real fast, real easy, this is not a book. The Euryanthea book is not a book for beginners, I would say.
It's not a book for the lighthearted, that's for sure.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. However, no library should be without it, in my opinion. The same with Blavatsky. But the Euryanthea book is totally channeled material, beautifully put together. And if you want to see a good example of channeled writing, the Euryanthea book is one to pick up on. It is an amazing book, and it does, you know, it's they're channeled teachings, and they present a blueprint of creation. And it's a fascinating book to go through. I highly recommend it if you've got the the courage to sit down with it.
Well, that's why in my book, Rise Up, I have made every effort to place it in a context that makes it more understandable and comprehensible, right? And I've also added graphics and pictures and explanations spiritually and scientifically to support what's written in the Euryanthea book, to validate what has been written. It's just so fascinating on so many levels, the blueprint of the universe, but also when you start to read some of the explanations about how the universe works, you're shocked to find out that the automaton they talk about is exactly the same thing as the vibrating string. And mind you, this book was channeled, you know, back in the 1930s, and here theoretical physicists didn't even discover string theory until the early 2000s. You know, sometimes I'm watching these physics documentaries because I love quantum physics, and I want to say, read the Euryanthea book, guys. You know, like it's already all been channeled.
It has been, I think it's online too, so you don't have to actually buy it. You can actually read it online if you want to. If you go to sacredtexts.com, a lot of the texts are all there for free for you to read if you want to check that out. But the Euryanthea book and Madame Blavatsky are both amazing books for people to go through and to observe. I think the other person that kind of goes right along with Madame Blavatsky is Nicholas Roerich and his artwork, which is, he was a part of the Theosophical Society too, way back when it was formed, and his material is fascinating as well. There are a lot of wonderful books out there. Manly P. Hall is another one that has put together an amazing assortment of works that have stood the test of time, along with the Bible. And you know, I don't want to discount the Bible because it does have amazing insight and information in it as well. But if what you're looking for is a way to let go of the misconceptions that have been holding you down, Rise Up is an amazing book to work with and through, because I love the fact that you start out each section with meditation, with exercise, with all of the, to sort of, you know, loosen up the body and the mind and the spirit to plow into another aspect of yourself. And I love the fact that they're all free and all, you know, people just have to, you know, click in and tune in and go through the meditations with you and then do the exercise in the book. So you've made it very, very user-friendly.
Thank you for that. I so appreciate it. And as you were talking about other books, I was so delighted to be able to reference many of the books that have had a powerful positive impact on me and my life, have given me a much greater understanding of consciousness, of spirituality, of ascension, and also of ancient civilizations and these cultures, Egyptian and Mayan and even the Dogon. And so the books that I referenced throughout my book, Rise Up, I was able to interview the authors. And those interviews you can watch on my show, lightenuptv.net.
Oh, that's fabulous. And it's on YouTube, I think?
No, YouTube is not used for any of my videos because my YouTube channel has been taken down too many times with the content that I present. And so I use Vimeo, and I have an internet TV network called SciSpy.tv, SciSpy.tv, and we now have 6 channels and over 30 shows. My talk show is called Lighten Up TV. When you go to SciSpy.tv, you can just click on the Perspectives channel, which is our talk show channel, and then you can click on my show, Lighten Up TV, Discussions with Global Thought Leaders. When you do, you'll find over 50 interviews with global thought leaders, but there lies all of the interviews that I have done with authors I have referenced throughout my book, Rise Up.
Well, I think I loved it. I was intrigued tremendously by all of the directions you went with all of the different graphics and the color pictures. You break up the text beautifully so that you don't think, oh my God, I can't get through this much material. But it's not that much, and it is an easy read. So it is definitely worthwhile to pick up, worthwhile to go through and participate in. The other thing that I don't remember if you mentioned it or not is the I Ching. And do you reference that in your book? I can't remember.
I don't reference the I Ching, although I am very familiar with it and its reference to 64 and also how 64 relates to our DNA. And yes, I find the I Ching very fascinating.
It's another, and I think with everything that you have referenced, I think it's important to note that the material you talk about will give you a philosophy. It will not give you an answer. So if somebody's looking for a yes or no or in 2 weeks type of an answer, that's not the point of any of this material. The point of this material is to get you so experienced with understanding your own soul and spirit and pathway that you know the answers. You don't have to go asking from another source. And
right. And again, like why I wrote Wake Up First. It prepares you with practical spirituality, balancing ego and spirits. The meditations are more chakra meditations, right? Running energy. And it's a preparation for the deeper metaphysical journey of Rise Up.
Yeah, I ate this one up. This one was just, you know, it was perfect for me to even give to people that I'm working with and saying, you know, here, take this, take 10 days, you know, or 10 weeks, whatever is most appropriate, but go through it and seriously approach the exercises because it will give you the information you need to get to where you need to go inside of yourself. And
aw, thank you for that.
Well, the best teacher for us is ourselves. That's where all the answers are. The higher consciousness inside of us is the only one that has the blueprint for the journey of the spirit. It's nobody else's blueprint. And to take the time and the effort instead of going to workshop after workshop after workshop to get certificate after certificate after certificate that proves nothing, to take the time to really work on yourself and go into yourself to find the answers and the directions and to learn how to trust yourself. with the choices that you make, because you can't make a wrong choice. You can, some choices are longer than others, but you can't make a wrong choice. So depending on where your spirit takes you, that's where you need to go. And it's not up for another to direct you. And that's what I like about this book. It gives you the power to choose the direction that you want to take yourself in. And not necessarily want to on a conscious ego-centered way, but on a spiritual direction, where does my spirit need to go, not where does my ego want to go. There's a difference between want and need, and it's a big difference. Need always wins out.
Right. Yes, I mean, creation is based on our free will. It's based on, you know, our ability to make free will choices. And I think that's another thing that, you know, this last year through the pandemic that was very challenged, you know, being told what to do, when to do, how to do it, why to do it, you know, and feeling as if maybe our free will choices to be able to prosper and to be able to protect our freedoms and what have you became challenged. And I'm not saying for right or wrong. I'm only just saying that, you know, our free will choice seemed to be very limited throughout, right? And so, you know, then feeling what that's like to have restrictions and not to have freedom and freedom of choice. And, you know, many people lost their businesses and their ability to prosper and ability to pursue happiness. And, you know, all of these things were sort of taken away. And, you know, it made us see what that feels like. And, you know, then people had to make other choices about how they were going to conduct their lives and how they were going to recreate their lives in different ways. And so...
But don't you think that in many ways, and if someone has lost a business or a partner or, you know, there has been incredible loss and incredible sadness that this whole thing has brought about. But if you take it across the broad spectrum, it is a challenge to each individual, you know, to find a way to make your life rich in spite of the limitations that we are forced to live under. And there are so many different ways that people can do that, and people are doing it, and it's really quite profound. And I think one of the things that I have enjoyed seeing, and you know, of course it hasn't been as successful as I would have liked it to be, but children being taught by their parents, which is where I think it should come from. I think all parents should be the teachers of their children. I think, you know, sending them to a school where everybody gets the same thing shoved down their throats is to me ridiculous. If I had, now I'm 77 now, if I knew what I know now, when my son was born, he would have never gone to public school. I would have been in charge of his education, and I would have made sure he was prepared for the world. He's done very, very well, and I'm very, very proud of him. But I feel that it's a parental obligation to teach their children not only the fundamentals that they will need in life, like reading, writing, and arithmetic, and balancing your checkbook, and being responsible, but also to be able to address the world and to interact with other people in a positive, loving manner and way. And school does not do that. And I think we've learned that because kids have been going to school, and if children are suffering, I think that partially it has to do with the fact that their parents haven't been able to pick up the ball and run with it because they didn't have the education either. And I'm not saying that the parents are to blame for any of this, but I am saying that part of being a parent is being responsible for how your kids learn and what they learn. And in many cases, that hasn't happened. But again, this pandemic has challenged us all on many different levels, and I think that it's not going to stop anytime soon. So if you haven't decided to become active and proactive and making sure that you have a greater richness in your life, this is your responsibility, and it can be done if you're locked in a little 4x4 cell. People during the Holocaust had joy in their lives. They were able to keep their spirits alive, and I think humanity can do that too. And if you look at the news, all you see is the bad stuff, and there is good stuff going on here. There should be a good news station, don't you think?
That's why I created SciSpy.tv.
That's why I've got Nightlight out there.
Right, because I turn on Netflix and I'm like, there's so much horror and drama and violence, crime. I mean, I just go through and it's so dark, you know? Of course, there's some comedies and romantic comedy and what have you, but mm-hmm. a lot of it is very dark and scary. And even, you know, I'll go to Vudu and the feature films. So many of them are dark and, you know, frightening. And I think there's this whole, like, fear agenda. I really do, and I'm, you know, not going to go down a conspiracy black hole or anything, but I am going to say that I do think there's some intention through fear that those programming society find that when the masses are in fear, they're easier to control more dependent.
Probably.
And it lowers the vibration. Right, so they don't feel empowered.
That's
and so
true.
Now they're disempowered, and they're that much easier to control and program for their purposes to enslave.
Oh, absolutely. And if, you know, you can't do it now, but when they had the gambling casinos open, I went once with my sister and brother-in-law, and I found that there was a harmonic playing constantly, and nobody seemed to notice it, but it felt like it was almost hypnotic, and it was bringing people's energy down, so they just sat there and they poured money into the machines and money into the machines and money into the machines. So that kind of thing has been utilized a lot, and I think today we're facing a lot of that as well. So that what do they say? You have, in watching TV, in 45 seconds, you are in alpha and easy to program. So, you know, just paying attention to what's on the television can take your consciousness down as well. But I want to get back to your book because one of the things I found so fascinating and enlightening and joyful is that you at the end of each of the day's adventures, you ended with meditations and activations. And I want, you know, can you explain this to the purpose? Because you began the day with a meditation and you ended the day with a meditation. So there is great value in meditative experiences. So if you want to kind of speak to that a little bit, that would be great.
Yes, and so to, you know, put the adventure, as I call the reader throughout, to put the adventure into that higher state of conscious awareness into the higher brainwave states, like you were mentioning. And in those higher brainwave states, the mind is more open to spiritual concepts and can more easily absorb and integrate the information, is in more of a mindset of exploring concepts and ideas about the creation. And with their mind more open in this way, they too can
open their own third eye and access the Akashic records for themselves and be downloaded with their own revelations about the creation.
Hi, you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You just stopped real short. I thought I dropped you for a minute.
Yes, and so I was just saying, you know, how some of the meditations not only bring people into higher consciousness so they're more open to these concepts and ideas, but also so that they can activate their third eye and themselves access the Akashic records so that they can receive their own information and downloads and revelations.
Well, you know, to me, the only drawback to doing this alone is that you don't have somebody to bounce stuff off of. And so I almost would suggest that people do this either in pairs or in groups so that you have people you can talk to about the material that's going on here. And when you speak about opening, you know, the third eye and going into the Akashic records, that's something that so many people, first of all, want to do, but they don't know how to trust the material that they get. How do you speak to that? I mean, being in the field for a long time, I know what I can trust and what I don't trust. But somebody who is just starting out, how do you give them the confidence? How do they know that they have meditated the right way or their third eye is open? How do they tell whether they've done it the right way? What kind of validation can they look for to know that they have definitely achieved what the purpose of the day was?
So the journaling, I feel, allows them to almost do a form of automatic writing, where what they have absorbed throughout the day's adventure has been stored somewhat in their mind, in their memory, right? And
uh-huh.
Those things that they really resonated with probably stuck. And so as they journal, because they have the opportunity to meditate and reflect upon the day's adventure and all of that was presented within it, and then after they journal, and in the journaling process, then they almost are in a form of automatic writing where spirit is flowing through them and revealing that which they got out of that day's journey, that which was most significant, symbolic, and meaningful for them. And so hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it's one of the stumbling blocks that people have to know. You know, I think I saw this, but what did I really see, or was that just my imagination? And, you know, they want so badly to achieve something that once they achieve it, they don't trust it because they're not sure if that's really what they saw or really what they were meant to see. But I mean, the adventures that you take people through, the cutting edge material you go through so that they are focusing on things and events in their lives and circumstances in their lives and really digging into the meaning and, you know, what do I get out of this, or how do I let go of this, or how do I process this? It's self-analysis like crazy, and it's really good stuff. And you do it with such delicacy so that it's not frightening or intimidating or scary for people. So you know, kudos on that. It absolutely helps people to understand themselves better, and you know, the better you understand yourself, the better you're able to not only put yourself across to other people, but in many ways understand them better as well, because you know the processes that you had to go through, and certainly, you know, they in their turn either have or will go through the same types of processes. And
yes, and on that note too, you were talking about support as you move through the book. I offer, I offer spiritual counseling throughout the journey as well, and so the book is supported by my website, where I not only have the meditations available as audio downloads, but I also offer sessions, and I offer like an initial consultation, and then also a series of 10 different types of specific sessions, but I also just customize sessions as well. So people can reach out to me directly for support during their Rise Up adventure.
Yeah, it is definitely a Rise Up adventure. And I think that the fact that you have scattered throughout the book your own personal experiences, you've been, you know, very honest about your personal experiences so that people understand that people in this field struggle with the same things they're struggling with, and sometimes maybe even struggle more. There is a price you pay to a degree to be able to have the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to share it with other people. You have to earn it. And the only way you earn it is to go through the processes that get you there. And sometimes they aren't as much fun as one would like to think. You know, it would be lovely if we could skip down a garden path with flowers and delphiniums on either side and you know, go into a state of ecstasy and you know, you can do that, but you have to go through a lot to get to that place, and not many of us skip down that path at an early age, for sure. Maybe Shirley Temple, but that was it.
Right. Who I quote throughout the book. Interestingly
uh-huh.
enough. Yes, and on that note, also, I have found that it's important for people to take things at their own pace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to stop along the way and do their own research, right? I mean, something I mentioned in the introduction is that when I was writing my book, Rise Up, I asked my husband if I could work part-time so that I could really dedicate myself to the necessary research, meditation, walks out in nature, you know, everything that came together that allowed me to be able to understand the answers to the bigger questions of who we are and where we came from and why we're here and what's this reality made of and, you know, what eternal adventure is our soul on and are we really sourced by the infinite and all of these things, right? And how does quantum physics explain it all? And so I took a lot of time to do a lot of different research in many different books, but then also, of course, during trance meditation, channeled. Much of the material is channeled and supported by references from books. And then, of course, the quantum physics. And so I'm bringing that all up because it's like in all of the time that I took to do all of that, I've now presented it in the book in such a way that you don't have to take all of that time. It's presented in a reader-friendly way as an adventure so that everything is compacted into one book. That gives you the answers to the biggest mysteries of creation.
Okay, sewed it all up nicely. So what is the next book about?
Yes, so Lighten Up, Activating Your Light Body is going to be a 10-day retreat. And so you see these are all 10-day books, this trilogy, because way back before I started writing, I heard a voice resonate within me and all around me, and it said, you're going to write a 30-day book on the evolution of consciousness. And I laughed and said, okay, that's silly. I'm not even an author, right? But here we are now working on the third book. So what I realized is it was three 10-day books, one for the mind, wake up, liberating the mind from limiting beliefs, two, rise up for the spirit, deeply metaphysical, a spiritual journey, and then three for the body, activating the light body. And this is a 10-day retreat. And so that's how that book is being set up, and we are going to talk about the profound transformation from a third dimensional being into a 5D being. Literally, it's an ascension of consciousness on a physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional level. We're going to talk about the biology behind that. We're going to talk more about physics, but also about consciousness, the power of our consciousness. And that, you know, our consciousness is thought, and thoughts bring form into reality. And when we master our mind and our thoughts, and we start to become conscious creators of our reality, anything is possible. And that's going to be the theme of the book, is sort of an expansion on the creator consciousness that I brought up in Rise Up.
Well, I think in Lighten Up, when you mentioned the title of it, I thought, oh, yeah, I hope she gets into the joy of creation, to the humor, to the laughter, to the light that laughter carries, because I have found that when there is laughter and humor and joy, and that's when the spirit truly begins to live and manifest, that laughter is so important to this whole process that it's definitely serious and somber. I'm not saying it's not. It is that, but at the same time, it is celebratory and joyful as well. And without the laughter, you don't get the fullness of the spirit. That's just my opinion.
Yes, thank you for that. Lighten Up has always had a number of connotations. Interestingly enough, I opened a wellness center back in, 1996, and I named it Lighten Up. Right. And so it had a series of connotations. I wanted people to come in and to feel a lightness of being and to enjoy working out and to feel better about themselves. And so they were elevated when they left. Right.
Uh-huh.
Also lighten up because they were losing weight. So here again with my book, Lighten Up, right, there'll certainly be that, because it's all about feeling elevated, uplifted, joyful, blissful. So certainly there's that aspect to it.
Oh, yeah, because I found when I'm an ordained minister, and I found that when I gave sermons, if I never gave a sermon, I just shared people experience that I had had. But I found that if I could humorously talk about how I messed up one of the cosmic laws, that they would understand what that cosmic law was far better and longer than if I had seriously given them a lecture on it. And so it was a lightheartedness that taught the lesson, as opposed to an intellectual wisdom that was hammering at them. So it's, and you know, the most awful part of the whole thing was the very first time I gave a sermon, I thought I had to be serious and somber, and I honestly put the congregation and the organist and myself to sleep, just about. And that's when I realized that no message got across. That they got a nice nap, but no message got across. And from then on, it was like, you know, okay, so this is how I screwed up, and this is what the lesson was. And if they could laugh with me at me, they learned the lesson. And the message was, okay, now you know how to screw it up. Don't do it my way. Figure out a way of your own to do it if you're going to screw it up. But here's the lesson. And if you want to just learn the lesson and not screw up, that's the smarter way to go. So, but lighten up to me is a lightness of spirit, because things don't rise unless they're light. And so in order to lighten your spirit up so that it can ascend, you have to let go of you have to let go of some of the ponderous wisdom, intellectual thinking, and allow the spirit to supply the spiritual wisdom, which is of the light.
Yes.
And you know, I'm looking forward to that book. I think that's going to be very cool. When does that come out?
2022.
Oh. You have a ways to go.
Yes, I need the time to write it. It's only one of the many, many things that I do. And as you know, writing takes time. I love doing it. But yes, it's time consuming, and I want to definitely give it the time it deserves.
Well, you know, let's go back while we're talking about this. Let's go back to the very beginning. You had a time of revelation before you started all of this. And I think it's important for people to know where you came from and how that happened, if you can kind of go into that a little bit, your mountaintop experience.
Yes. So I was working and living on the East Coast as a corporate executive, and as such, I was experiencing an extreme amount of stress, which was showing up in different ways. I was being rushed to the hospital for anxiety attacks. My hair was falling out in clumps. I had eczema all over my skin. And I was beginning to realize that the life I was living was literally killing me. I also felt that it lacked meaning and purpose. And I remember one day walking out into the kitchen and just saying out loud that if there's no more meaning and purpose to life than this, I'm out of here. Waking up, fighting brutal traffic, going to work to fight brutal, mean-spirited politics, to go and fight brutal traffic again, to come home and eat and go to bed and get up and do it all over again and again and again. If this is all there is, I'm out of here. This isn't what I signed up for. And I also felt confused because everyone else seemed perfectly fine with it. But I wanted something more out of my life. And so about that time, the phone rang, and it was my parents calling from the desert of Southern California, and they invited me to come out and see them. It was December in New Jersey, and there was blizzarding and freezing, and I knew that's what I needed, was fun in the sun and a break from it all. And so I took off, and I went to visit my parents in the desert. And when my father was driving up over the lip of the valley that we were about to drop into, and I saw this desert valley laid out beneath us with the palm trees swaying in the wind and the bright blue sky and the sun shining brightly, I had this sense that I'd come home. And so while I was there, we were enjoying love and laughter and celebrating and rejoicing being together. And as the vacation started to come to a close, I was overwhelmed with this sense of impending doom. And on one morning, I woke up and I just ran to this mountain range behind their house. I ran straight to the top of the mountain and I threw my arms up to the sky and said, I am miserable in the extreme and I see no way out. And in that moment, I felt as if the air around me was embracing me, and I heard a voice resonate within me and all around me, and it said, can't you see you've come home? You'll stay here and heal yourself and many others. And in that moment, I knew that was the absolute truth for me, and all of the fear and anxiety and depression melted away, and it was replaced by excitement and enthusiasm over my new life in the desert as a healer. I ran down the mountain, and for the next 2 weeks felt like I was just following the energy. That morning, I felt inspired to jump in the car and go down to the nearest 5-star resort and apply for a job in health and wellness, and I was hired on the spot without any qualifications in health and wellness. And they welcomed me to the family with open arms and said, can you start in 2 weeks? And I said, yes. And then as I was walking through the parking lot, I thought, this is surreal. What have I done? But I knew it was the absolute truth for me. I felt excitement and enthusiasm and passion like I'd never felt before. I left my life on the East Coast and in 2 weeks moved to the desert to become a healer. I opened a wellness center, which just kept expanding. And I stayed there and healed myself and many others, just like the voice said I would. And I've never looked back. I've stayed on the field of health and well-being for over 25 years. It's taken on different shapes and forms and expressions, but being in service to the health and well-being of others is truly my passion.
Well, and clearly it's worked for you beautifully. I know that the universe will supply you with exactly what you need, and it's just a matter of trusting it will. And everybody has a story, you know, quite similar to that, in knowing that, you know, once you turn your life over, there is no going back. And, you know, you are along for the ride, and you know, to pay attention to those things that happen to you that look like coincidences that aren't, and run with them, but not manage them. It's sort of like, you know, you every now and then I will think, I know exactly where you want me to go, and I'll take over steering for a while, and then I know I make a mistake. It's you wait for the signs, you act by the signs, you allow the universe to do the steering for you, and you will in that way avoid the pitfalls, hopefully. But sometimes a pitfall is a very important thing for you to have to go through at least once. If you do it right the first time, you won't have to go through it again. But the universe takes care of us. It gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need. And again, there's that need and want thing, you know. Need always wins out over want. Though there have been times I've sat and said to myself, I really want this. Can't we make this happen?
Right. I really believe in divine synchronicity. You know, that when we set an intention for what we wish to create in our lives, if it's based on our pure intentions to serve the highest good for ourselves and others in selfless service to the light of love, you know, that everything will fall into place beautifully. Our mm-hmm. dreams can come true when they are directed toward the highest good for all.
Yeah. And that's the kicker. But
right?
You set your feet on your feet on this pathway, and it is a joyful journey. It is exciting. It things fall into place in unexpected ways, and I've always been amazed at how profound the synchronicities actually are. You can't believe it until you experience it. And in your book, you know, people have the opportunity of putting themselves in the position to allow the universe to take over studying, to allow the higher spirit to be the guiding light for you, as opposed to what you think. It's more important what you know. And you know, it's that old Benjamin Franklin saying, you know, when in doubt, don't. If you know something is right and appropriate, you do it. If you're doubting, if you're questioning, you don't do it. It's that easy. Because I don't think your higher consciousness will let you make a mistake. Your higher consciousness will allow you to create lessons for you to learn things from, but it won't be a mistake. And I think that's the important part for people to understand. We don't make mistakes. We just create lessons. and they're all
exactly
a benefit,
right?
To us.
I always say, if you learn from your perceived mistake, it's not a mistake. There's a lesson within it.
I think there have been times in my life when I've said to myself, man, I've been through this two or three times before. You'd think I had learned what it was I was supposed to learn so I don't have to repeat this yet again. And, you know, then you have to sit down and you have to go through just what is going on and what are you learning and what does the universe have entail for you, because the universe always has magic in there, you know, written into the program, and it's a matter of going with the program and experiencing the magic, and the magic is always, always worth it. Always.
Aww, absolutely. Let's create more magic and miracles in our lives.
I just, you know, I love it when magic happens, and it does so very often. And, you know, the more that we acknowledge it and pay attention to it and, you know, thank the universe for it, the more frequently it comes. I think that instead of saying what a coincidence that was, it's not only, wow, thank you for that one, and writing it down so you're committing it, because I think one of the important parts about your book is you're writing so much down, and with coincidences especially, if you write them down, that tells the universe I got it. That means that in the next time they're going to give you a coincidence, it will be a medium instead of a small, and the next time it'll be a large, and the next time it'll be an extra large, and the next time it'll be a two extra large. But the more you let them know, the more you let the universe know, your conscious, your higher consciousness know, that you're paying attention to these revelations that you're getting, that they are increased. And it doesn't mean that, you know, they all come with pots of gold, but it does mean that they in many ways are golden for your own evolution, which is probably more important.
Yes. Profound and so true, my friend.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I just noticed our time. I want you to make sure you put out your information for where people can get a hold of you and can see your material and your workshops and stuff like that.
Thank you. I invite everyone to visit my website at SuzanneRossWellness.com. That's SuzanneRoss Wellness.com. And there you'll find everything that I do and offer, including my books, my sessions. I do live sessions and remote sessions. I live here in the Red Rock Paradise of Sedona, where I also offer spiritual journeys out on the land if you want to come and see me in Sedona. And then finally, my internet TV network, SciSpy.tv, is accessible from my website as well.
Okay. And everybody, do check out the book, because it is an amazing book. I read all the books, but this one especially resonated with me, because it gives you the blueprint for going through a process that so many people are now seeking, and, you know, looking for someone who can guide them through it, and she does it beautifully. So it's exciting.
Aww, thank you for that. I so appreciate it, especially coming from someone as advanced as yourself. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Well, I do my best. So Suzanne, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you, everybody, for being here as well. Check out the YouTube channel and the Rumble channel. I keep forgetting to call it that. And also, we are on Alexa. So all you have to do is talk to her, and she will pull the shows up for you. I just noticed that mine's turned on, so I'm not going to tell you how to do it, because suddenly she's going to be talking to us, and we don't want to do that. So do check out the website, BarbaraDeLong.com. You'll find a lot of information there. Also the calendar, so you'll know when the next show is. Tomorrow we have another show at 4 p.m. Central Time. It will be an exciting one. please join us there. And if you enjoy the YouTube stuff, subscribe to it, because we can, that's the only way we know you're listening and paying attention, so it helps us a lot. Thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.